Question for you for today. If you knew that you were going to die tomorrow, would you do anything differently than what you're doing today? Would there be people that you wanted to see, maybe people that you wanted to reach out to, whatever the circumstance may be? The biggest question would be, if I knew that I was going to die tomorrow, would I do anything different than what I am right now? Listen, we want to talk about that as we go forward in our Bible study today. We're actually going to be looking at a passage that comes out of Psalm chapter 90 and verse 12. Grab your Bible. Come on back. We'll see you in just a moment. Hey, folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I am tickled to death that you are joining us today. And as we began our Bible study, I asked you a very pointed question. And that question was, if you knew that you were going to die tomorrow, would you be doing anything any different? You know, would there be somebody that you would need to call? Would there be people? Now, obviously, that's a tough question. Now, as impossible as that sounds, there are people who actually hear that sort of news, number one, and then there are those who aren't prepared for that kind of news. How many times have maybe you known somebody or somebody within your circle of friends or coworkers or maybe a student at school, and you're like, yeah, you've heard that they passed away? Most of the time in a situation like this, it's something that's tragic. And what have you said? You said, well, you know what? I just talked to them yesterday, and everything seemed to be fine. Everything was going along great. Folks, tragedy strikes at any moment. So today, I want us to consider that for just a moment. If you knew that tomorrow you would die, what would your thought process be? Now, I want to kind of look at it from my vantage point. I want to share with you, you know, because I'm a pastor. You know, not everybody that's listening to this broadcast are pastors. In fact, most of them are not. But you have a different vocation. You know, you have a family life. You have all these different things. So that's why I wanted you to think about it that way. Now, from my perspective, I want to talk to you today about the sermon that I would preach on Sunday if I knew that I would die on Monday. Same sort of thing I've just asked you. If tomorrow was going to be your last day on this earth, would you do anything different? If I knew that I was going to die on Monday, what would be the sermon that I would preach on Sunday? And I'm kind of drawn to this particular passage. It's Psalm chapter 90 and verse 12 that says this. It says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Now, let me read that one more time, because we're just going to deal with that one verse today. It says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, again, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that we might truly today be confronted with our own mortality. Lord, I pray that we would make sure that we have everything in order with you in the moments that we live, because we're not promised our next breath. And Father, we say that so many times, but so often it's not real to us. Lord, I pray that in our heart today that you would make it real, that you would show us what we need to do to be prepared for the tomorrow. Lord, because that tomorrow, death in the tomorrow may happen. Death in this very day could happen. So Lord, I pray you'll use me as your messenger during this time, that you would be lifted up, that people would hear from your Holy Spirit rather than from simply Roy Carter. Bless, Father, our time together as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, folks, that's one of those questions that we're all faced with. Most often when we find ourselves at a funeral service, somebody that we know, you know, we're confronted with our mortality. And you sit back, and how many times have you heard somebody say, oh, well, that person was just so young. It's like, you know, we have this idea that we're going to live for so long, or that we're going to make it to our 70s, 80s, 90s, or even to 100. And then when somebody suddenly passes away in their 50s or even younger, all of a sudden that shocks us. Well, the question is, are we prepared? I like the old Boy Scout motto, always be prepared. When it comes to our spiritual life, we need to be prepared to not even see the sun go down on this very, very day. Now, there was a pastor in the days of old named Richard Baxter, and he had a goal in his preaching, okay? He wanted to preach as if he would never preach again, and as a dying man to a dying people. Think about a motivation when it comes down to that. Now, let me say that to you once again. Richard Baxter wanted to preach as if he'd never, ever preach again, that was going to be his last sermon, and he wanted to preach as a dying man to a dying people. In other words, see, what happens is that creates some urgency along the way with the message. Yeah, and I want to go into this Bible study today with you with a sense of urgency that Baxter had in his goal. You see, the psalmist calls us to number our days. In other words, we only have so many. I've said it so many times that the Lord numbered our days from before the foundations of the earth. You know, he knew the day we would be born. He knows the day that he is going to call us home. And there is nothing on this side of eternity or the other side of eternity that is going to change that day. You know, you can sit back and say, well, I'm going to, you know, take more vitamins. I'm going to be healthier. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. The Lord knows the day that he is going to call you into eternity. If you're one of his, the day that he calls you home to be with him. If you are not one of his, he knows the days that your soul will drop into the pits of hell, which burneth with fire and brimstone forever. Now see, the bottom line is, preachers die too. And we should be aware of the brevity of life. That's basically to say how short life really is. So today I want to spend just a few minutes with you talking about what I would say, the sermon that I would preach if I knew this was the last time I was going to have an opportunity to address a crowd. Notice what I said a moment ago. I said, what sermon would I preach on Sunday if I knew that Monday was going to be my last day? Well, the first part of my sermon would be to those that I love. You see, we all have responsibilities to those that are closest to us. And one of the things that I think I would do is I would assure my family of my faith in Christ, which gives me eternal life. I would want them emphatically to know that when I close my eyes on this earth, that I'm going to open them in the place called heaven for all of eternity. And I would want them to know that without any shadow of a doubt. How many times do we stand around in a funeral home or in a cemetery and we wonder about our loved ones? We sit back and say, well, you know, I think Uncle Frank trusted Christ, or, you know, I wonder if I'm going to see Uncle Frank again. Or we've got all these questions in our minds. Folks, that's not something that we need to have to contend with. Make sure that you draw those lines. If you have trusted in Christ, be sure to let your family members know that you have, and know that you're going to be spending eternity in heaven with the Savior. You see, many leave loved ones wondering whether they'll ever see them again. You know, particularly, I mean, I've known families, and in my 32 years of ministry, one of the interesting things that I've come across is the fact that people say, well, you know, I just don't know if my aunt, my uncle, my cousin, my mom, my dad, even people very, very close to them that live in the same household, they're like, well, I don't know whether or not they're believers or whether they're born again. Folks, let me tell you one of the easiest ways that you can find out the answer to that question, and that is simply ask. You know, with a heart of concern, you can show that heart of concern to your loved ones. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've just gone up to somebody, and I guarantee you that there's probably some folks that are watching this broadcast that have had me ask this question before. You know, a lot of times I'll say, well, you know what, you wouldn't think I was much of a pastor if I didn't ask you about your eternal soul. Where are you going to spend all of eternity? Have you trusted Christ? Will I see you again? You know, for me, in the position of a pastor, if I've got to do a funeral, it's a whole lot easier to do a funeral for a loved one that's a brother or sister in Christ than it is for somebody that you don't know, that or somebody that has doubts, or somebody that you know is not a born-again believer. What kind of hope can you give to somebody who dies without Christ? There is no hope you can give them. The only thing that you can really say is, you know, Uncle Frank died without Jesus, and you don't want to die without Jesus. You don't want to be in that place called hell, which burns with fire and brimstone forever. There's an alternative to that. Jesus saves. You know, ask. Folks, it is time. It is critical. If it was tomorrow, if you knew emphatically today that your loved ones were going to die tomorrow, would you seek to determine whether or not they have trusted Christ? Folks, I believe that we're truly at that particular critical mass in our day and age. You see, many leave loved ones wondering whether or not they will ever see them again in the kingdom of heaven. You know, so what else would I tell them? I would tell them of the time that I trusted Christ as my Savior. That's called a personal testimony. You see, I would describe the times that God spoke to my heart about His love. I would talk to them about the time that the Lord knocked at my heart's door. I would talk about that time when I opened that door and I said, "Yes, Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I know that my soul is bound for hell at this particular point, but because of what Jesus did on Calvary through His death, burial, and resurrection, that doesn't have to be my final destination because You've gone to prepare a place for me." So I would describe that time. I would let them know. I would give them my testimony, you know, and I would tell them about the time I gave my heart to Jesus. And I would give thanks for those, you know, who lived the Christian life before me, those that modeled it. You know, I've often said this, and I still like to call our attention to it. And for all of those today who are listening to this broadcast that know Jesus, somebody took the time to show you. Somebody modeled before you what the Christian life was like. Somebody had enough care for you that they exposed you to the gospel, whether they told you about Christ's crucifixion, burial, and resurrection, whether they told you themselves, or whether they took you to church to expose you to where the pastor would preach about it or Sunday school teachers would teach about it. Somebody cared enough about your eternal soul that they took the time to share Jesus with you. You know, you need to give thanks for those people. You know, the ones that took that time with you. And in turn, you need to take those times to model Christ before those in your life and to also speak about them. Now, I hear this all the time. People say to me, they're like, "Well, you know, I try to live a good Christian life, you know, around my peers, my friends, my coworkers, but I really just have a trouble, you know, talking about it." Well, folks, listen, get a little bit of courage to yourself. You know, what are they going to do? If they're friends, bottom line is they might say, "Well, you know, that's kind of a weird question out of the blue." But how much do you really care about them? Do you truly care whether or not they would spend eternity in hell? Is it worth seeing them sentenced to eternity in hell because you didn't want to hurt their feelings or that you didn't want to make them mad? Or would you rather be able to be the one to say, "You know, I told you about Christ. My prayer would have been, I wish you would have trusted Him, and therefore your eternal destination would not be in damnation in hell." You know, so what else would I do? I would describe the church service when I opened up my heart to Jesus. You know, I can still describe it to you right now. I was a little young man. I didn't even know how to respond to an invitation. I just remember that when the preacher preached, the Lord was knocking at my heart's door, and I still remember talking to my dad. And I said, "Dad, you know, there's some things I need to ask you." And when my dad shared with me, I still remember after the service we went up, I believe the preacher's name was Pack. And, you know, I still remember as he knelt down, my dad knelt down, and I was sitting on my dad's knee when I asked Jesus to come into my life and to save my soul. I can still remember that view. And I think I was maybe 5 or 6 years old, but I can remember that day vividly. Now, I can't tell you the calendar date of that because I don't know many 5 or 6 year olds that are into calendar dates and times. I do know that it was a Sunday night service. It wasn't a Sunday morning service. And I can still kind of see the people around me. I can still remember that little church. I can still remember that night just like it was yesterday. And man, what a joyous time in my life. See, I would recall the words of Pastor Pack at that particular time when he led me to ask Jesus into my heart. It was a very simple prayer. You can't get real complicated with a 5 or 6 year old. And one of the beauties in that is, we shouldn't make it so complicated that anybody above a 5 or 6 year old can understand it. I don't know why we try to complicate the gospel so much, but I would recall that prayer. I would tell my family members about that time. You know, I would take my loved ones into the miracle of that moment and let them enjoy that time with me so they would know without any shadow of a doubt that I was on my way to heaven, that I was heavenward bound. See, I would share Bible verses that give assurance of my salvation. And sometimes people sit back and say, "Well, preacher, what are those verses?" Let me give you a couple up right now. John chapter 6, verse 37. That's a good one. How about 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13 that tell us that we have assurance that we can be saved? We don't have to think we are. We don't have to sit back and say, well, you know, I think I did all the right things. No. The Word of God tells us you can know without any shadow of a doubt that you are saved, that you are born again, that you are whatever you want to call it. You're one of the Lord's children. You can know that without any shadow of a doubt. So the first part of my sermon that I would preach if I knew that I was going to die on Monday was that I would share that sermon to those that I love. I would tell them about, you know, my time of accepting Christ. The second part of my sermon would be to show where I'll live once I leave this earth. You see, when I die, I'll move to a new address, and that new address is that place called heaven. You know, I've read so much about it over the years. I've read all the things. You see, folks, at death, Christians depart from the earth. And once again, I don't want you to trust me. I want you to back everything I say up with God's word. So let me give you a couple passages. John chapter 13, verse 1. How about John chapter 16, verse 7? How about 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6? And they all speak to the fact that at death, Christians depart from the earth. And I'm not saying that you just go out there and you get buried in the ground. What happens is we move to a better place. Let me give you another scripture. Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. We're going to a far better place, and we immediately leave our bodies and move to heaven. Now, I want to emphasize this, because I can't tell you how many times people get mixed up with this, and I think there's some very interesting theological views that are contrary to God's word. But here's what I want you to understand. When you draw your last breath on this earth, you immediately leave your body and move to heaven. Now, let me give you a scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. It's not that you're just going to be hanging around, buried in the ground. It's not going to be this spance between when the time of the rapture takes place. You immediately go into the presence of the Father. You see, Jesus has been preparing a place for us. John chapter 14, which you hear very often quoted at funerals, it talks about where Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. Once again, let me give you scripture for that. It's John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. So he has gone to prepare that place for us. So let me tell you, let me tell you about this place that I'm going to be moving to when I close my eyes here on earth. Yet heaven is a place of music. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Think about the music that you'll hear. Best music you've ever heard in your life. Now, some people have said to me before jokingly, they said, well, you know, what kind of genre is that going to be? Is that going to be traditional? Is it going to be contemporary? Is it going to be praise and worship? Let me give you the biblical answer to that. I don't know, but I know that it will be enjoyed, okay? So heaven is going to be a place of music, and the music that will just move your soul. Heaven is also going to be a place of rest. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13 talks about that. A place where we rest from our labors. You know, I love the thought of hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. And how many times did Jesus say, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. That heaven's going to be a place of rest. Heaven's also going to be a place of rejoicing. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. It's going to be a place of rejoicing where people will cheer. You know, I've often wondered, I look around and I see people, and folks, don't get me wrong, I love a good ball game. I love going to see particularly college sports, high school sports, professional sports. And I like basketball, I like baseball, I like football, I like all these different things. And I watch the crowds get together and I watch them cheer on their team. Well, folks, heaven is going to be a place of rejoicing. Rejoicing in the one who laid down his life and picked it back up that you and I might have eternal life. So heaven's going to be a place of rejoicing, but it's also going to be a place of beauty. All right? Revelation chapter 21, verses 10 through 23 talks about how this is going to be the most beautiful place that you have ever seen in your life. I want you to think for just a moment right now about the most beautiful place that you've ever seen on this planet. Now, for me, I would sit back and say it was Hawaii. When Jana and I were first married 32 years ago, we went to Hawaii on our honeymoon, and it was probably the most beautiful place that I have ever seen in my life. It still resonates within my heart and in my mind. And I will tell you right now that Hawaii will not hold a candle to the beauty that heaven will behold. And that should be something that you and I as believers should look forward to. You know, and I would be able to sit back and I would be able to tell my loved ones, hey, listen, y'all, tomorrow I'll be living in a better place than where I am right now. And for a lot of people, that's just difficult because I think sometimes we have the wrong perspective. Folks, for the believer, death is merely a door to enter into the presence of the Father and to enter into eternal life. Remember what the Word of God tells us. Blessed is the going home of the saints. It's a blessing. Imagine the welcome. Imagine the people that have gone on before you. You know, moms and dads and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and friends that had gone on before you. And imagine, you know, when you step into heaven, being able to see them and being able to love on them once again. Well, what a glorious reunion that's going to be. So that would be point two of the sermon that I would preach on Sunday if I knew that I was going to die on Monday. Now, the third point, you know, good Baptist pastor has to have three points. Here's my third point. The third part of my sermon would be an appeal to the lost. You know, Luke 19:10 says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That means you and I. You know, my last sermon would be an urgent appeal to my hearers to be saved. And you know what? I try to live by that every Sunday when I stand in a pulpit or when I have an opportunity to preach. And the reason why is because I know that God's going to also hold me accountable for the sermon that was preached each and every Sunday that I've preached it, no matter where I've been. And I say Sunday, it could be Monday through Saturday as well. Anytime I preach, God holds me accountable to be able to extend the invitation that He is extending to the lost to come to know Him. So my last sermon would be an urgent, do you understand me, an urgent appeal to the hearers to be saved, to give their life to Christ. You know, I would preach that sin is something that's deadly. I would preach that sin is not only something that's deadly, but it is something that is damning. It will damn the soul to an eternity in hell. You see, I would preach of the love of Christ as warm and wonderful. Yeah, I always imagine what it's like when you just kind of need that hug, and I imagine Christ just putting His arms around you and just holding you close. What a warm, wonderful, and safe feeling. That is what I would preach about on Sunday if I knew that Monday I would go into the kingdom of heaven. See, I would also preach the cross as full payment for our sins. There is nothing, my friend, and I want you to hear me out on this. There is absolutely nothing that you can do to gain eternal life. It's not something that's earned. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is nothing that you can do. And the reason there's nothing you can do is because Christ already paid the full price for each and every one of us and for each and every sin, past, present, and future, when it was nailed to Calvary's cross, and He conquered it when He came out of that grave on the third day. And there is victory. Christ has victory over the grave, and through Him, you and I also share in that victory over the grave. I would preach the cross as full payment for our sins. And my last invitation would be long. My last invitation would be tearful. My last invitation would be pleading. And the reason why is because my last invitation would be my final call. And maybe yours as well. So if I knew that on this coming Sunday that I was going to preach my last sermon, I wouldn't worry about which restaurant would have the longest line. I wouldn't worry about what I was going to be eating for lunch. I wouldn't worry about what my work schedule starting on Monday morning would be, because my perspective would be completely different. You know what, folks? That's what the Lord wants in our lives each and every day, because we're not promised our next breath. We are not promised our next heartbeat. So my last invitation would be a long one. We would be singing a whole lot of stanzas of Just As I Am. It would be tearful. I would be begging you from the bottom of my heart to make sure that you have it right with Christ so that I will see you again in the kingdom of heaven. I would plead. I would beg. I would get on my hands and knees and beg you to do the right thing. Simply because it would be my final call, the last opportunity I would have to do something for the Lord here on this earth that would make an eternal difference, that would make an eternal change in somebody's life. See, folks, here's the bottom line. We're not guaranteed that life will last us even until tomorrow. I love what 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 said. It says, today is the day of salvation. Will you come to Jesus for salvation today? Right now, I'm asking you that question. I am asking you, if you are prepared, that if you didn't see the sunset tonight or the sunrise in the morning, are you prepared to look the Master in the eye? Are you prepared because you can call Him Father? You have trusted Him. You've given Him your life. See, folks, you're on the path to one of two places, either heaven or hell. One of those two, you're either for Him or you're against Him. Which one are you on? Well, if you're for Him, then you would see the kingdom of heaven. If you've trusted Him, if you've given Him your life. If not, then you would drop into hell for all of an eternity with no more chances to change that destination. Think of the rich man and Lazarus in that particular story. The rich man knew that he was going to be tormented for all of eternity. Not just the rest of his life, because his mortal life was over, but for all of eternity. And you and I really can't fathom what eternity is really like. So what would you do? Would you accept that last invitation? Well, you can accept it right now. Because if Jesus is knocking at your heart's door, you can trust Him by simply bowing your head and saying, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come into my life and save my soul. Father, help me to live a life pleasing to You, and help me live a life that reflects You. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, folks, if you did that and you truly meant it, there truly is rejoicing of all the saints in heaven because He's writing your name in that Lamb's Book of Life. Now, that's not the end-all, be-all. You know, that's just the beginning of your journey with Christ. He wants you to grow in His grace. He wants you to grow in His Word. And we at Central Baptist would love to help you do that. You'll notice on the screen there's a website. It's www.oakridgecbc.org. I beg you, if you trusted Christ, please let us know. We want to celebrate with you, but we also want to be able to get you some material that will help you to grow spiritually in your spiritual journey as you continue to go forward in this life. You know, there are no guarantees. You know, come to Jesus to salvation. If you just did that, we want to certainly celebrate with you. Maybe today you have trusted Christ, but you had been living what I like to call horizontally. You've been living, okay, I got this to do tomorrow, that to do. And you're living with your vision this way instead of your vision this way, instead of looking up to Him. Maybe there are some things priority-wise that we need to straighten out with the Master. I beg you to do that today. Whatever it is that He's laid on your heart, cry out to Him. He will hear you as one of His children, and He's the one who has convicted your heart of those particular things. So the question is, will you deal with them? In just a moment, I want to have a word of prayer with you, but I also want to share with you what we're going to be looking at as far as our scripture reading for this week. This week, we're actually going to be reading the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. Once again, that is 1 Peter chapter 2, and next week we will discuss quieting our critics from the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. And I hope and pray that you will join us for that Bible study. Let me have a word of prayer with you as we dismiss today. Father, as we come to You again, I am grateful and thankful for the life that You have given me, Lord, for the calling that You have placed on my life. And Lord, I am most thankful that I know that should I die this very moment, that I am going to spend all of my eternity in heaven with You. Lord, I thank You for Jesus. I thank You for the sacrifice on Calvary's cross that makes that possible. And Lord, I pray for each and every person who has been in the sound of my voice for this broadcast. I pray, Lord, that today they would reach out to You. If they don't know You, that today was truly the day that they have given their life to You, that life may take on a completely different purpose. and that Lord, that when they close their eyes on this earth, they too will say, I will spend all my eternity in the place called heaven. So Lord, right now, please just do what only you can do and be with each and every person that has heard this message today as we ask it in Jesus' name. Hey, folks, listen, again, I want to thank you for taking this opportunity to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We are located at 1715 Highway 68 in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you don't have a church home, I would love for you to come by, spend a little bit of time visiting with us on a Sunday morning. We also have other opportunities for discipleship throughout the week. We've got Sunday school classes. We've got small groups. We have a Bible studies, and then during the school year, we actually have a WANA for our children, which is a discipleship program as well. A lot of different things. Come on down. Be sure to introduce yourself to me when you're there, because I would certainly love to meet you. I pray you're going to have a great rest of your week, and may God bless you in an incredible way. Have a great day.